high capacity, I mean, and frequent bus service on 122nd? I mean, is that sort of...
I'm not going to go that far, but I would say it's a fair evaluation to say, you know, there's no doubt that Barber Boulevard would create jobs, would create a amazing community down that corridor, but relative to Barber Boulevard or maybe 122nd or something, I don't have that full evaluation to say which would better help the city. And in terms of equity, yeah, that'd be one of the issues to look at.
I guess maybe I should, referring back to Commissioner Fish's comments, I'd feel really, really guilty unless we were sure we could ensure that there's affordable housing along Barber if we implement this.
Okay. We'll take that in consideration when we come back with recommendations.
And actually, I believe West Portland Park has one of the highest levels of Section 8 housing in of any neighborhood in the city. So there are people in need in Southwest Portland. And surely you're not suggesting that we ask Metro to revisit Barber being the next high-capacity transit corridor?
Well, what we are asking is that before that we take a look at, through the comp plan, what the investment strategy should be for the entire city of Portland and allow that to come back to you as part of the comp plan recommendations out of the Portland Sustainability Commission. And if that, I don't know whether Barbara is going to be at the top of that list or not, but whatever those priorities are, then you would have a tool to make an evaluation of whether that would be a appropriate investment against your broader look.
Well, first of all, I don't accept the premise that it has to be either or. They're both clearly, both these areas, particularly the outer areas of both Powell and Barber, are places that were annexed relatively recently, like in the last 50 years, to the city and are in need of significant improvements. So I would suggest that we need to figure out how to do both. But second, the mayor has given me the opportunity to sit in on the Barber, on the Southwest Corridor planning process over the last couple of months. And we actually, yes, we need to look at the city, but we also need to look at the region. And there are significant issues, I think, in suggesting to our partners further out that we might draw back on Portland's commitment to continuing to study through the federal environmental impact assessment any kind of high capacity transit on 99, because it's not just Portland. So I guess maybe we're not disagreeing. In fact, I don't think we are. We need to do both. And there are people who need in both areas. In particular, there are also connecting cities within the metro area outside of the city of Portland. When I look at the folks on the buses going to PCC Sylvania, there are certainly a wide range of demographics and folks who would greatly benefit from improvements on Barber.
I agree totally with what you're saying. Our view is just to put a list of priorities, but as you say, we have commitments, and really your view is to look at those other partners that we have connections with other cities and look at that regional partnership.
And just as one final comment, I had an interesting exchange with a commissioner from Washington County at the meeting yesterday, reflecting Commissioner Fish's point about making sure that we emphasize green spaces, and that is a part of the expectation, both certainly in the city of Portland. The question was perhaps some of the other jurisdictions would not necessarily be able to invest in green spaces. And my thought is this is a corridor we're all going to be investing in, and Metro is going to be coordinating. So this is a good conversation as to what we do in the city of Portland and how we look at equity and affordable housing and green spaces within Portland. And then how do we relate to our region? Because Barber is currently a state highway.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would just add that I think we are in agreement around the prioritization, and I love your optimism about not either or but both, and I hope we can do all. It's just that I think it's our obligation to put in front of you every bit of fact that we can determine in terms of our charter, which is the Portland plan and how to make it work. So,
Commissioner, I'm the mother of three children, so I'm very used to not picking between one or the other or the third, but we've got to make it work for everybody.
Well, I'm the father of two, and I have the same issue.
Thank you very much. Any more questions for these two? Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Appreciate all your help and service. I know we have a lot of people signed up to testify, but we also want to extend the courtesy to an elected official, and I see Metro Councilor Shirley Craddock is here. I'm not sure she was planning to speak, but... Oh, you're here for Travel Portal.
I'm here for Travel Portal.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. Well, whenever there's an elected official in the room, we always want to check. Thanks for being here. So with that, let's turn to the sign-up sheet.
Okay, we have 10 people signed up. The first four, please come on up, are George J. Varanis, Peter Johnson, Ariane Holzhauer, and Andrew Atkintund.
Hi, welcome.
Hi. Shall we swap places?
Yeah. And if you're new to this process, our rules are you just state your name and you've got 3 minutes. So just put your name into the record as you begin. And you don't have to turn that one on. It's already switched on. The only one that requires manual operation is that one.
Glasses on. Just pop it. My glasses. Oh, here they are. Okay. Now I can go.
Welcome.
Okay. My name is George Varanis, and I and my colleagues are residents of the Haines Street community in the far southwest area of Portland, and we followed with interest the plans being presented today. We support the document by the Portland Bureau of Planning and Sustainability. It's well thought out and offers a vision for Southwest Portland that will allow it to prosper and grow in harmony with its natural endowment. We applaud the work of BPS and urge the city to accept the Barber Concept Plan of April 2013 as it is written. We want to see increased multimodal connectivity in all sections of the corridor. We encourage the concept of focus areas such as the crossroads that can become attractive and viable economic magnets and destinations around which businesses and housing can be built. And we agree that Barber could and should become a civic corridor. We support two of the alternative transportation bundles proposed by Metro, the light rail option and the hub and spoke option based on bus rapid transit, as these best complement the Barber concept plan as written. We wholeheartedly approve of the hub-and-spoke bus rapid transit plan for the corridor because of the connectivity that would result. We support this option because it would protect greenways in the corridor and avoid negative impacts in the satellite neighborhoods, such as ours at Haines Street. High-capacity transit should be on major roads that head directly downtown, the corridor's primary destination. We're opposed to any route that envisions a BRT-capable road link between PCC through a wildlife habitat and onto Haines Street. We do not want Haines Street to become a major arterial road for high-capacity transit. As residents of far southwest, we're most interested in plans for the crossroads and the southwest 53rd focus areas. In 1997, the crossroads was planned to be the West Portland Town Center, but it has not lived up to its potential. We very much want to see the crossroads become a true destination. We want to see its traffic problem solved and greater walkability and a mix of housing options and retail. And we want to see the establishment of an attractive high-frequency shuttle bus service along Capitol Highway and 49th to connect the Barber Transit Center and PCC Sylvania. To this end, we urge the building of a major park and ride facility similar to the 630-space site at the Sunset Transit Center, which could serve commuters but would also have reserved floors for PCC students. As for Southwest 53rd, this small focus area between the crossroads and Tigard must be the linchpin for revitalization of the most desolate, least pedestrian-friendly, least developed stretch of the Portland section of the corridor. The plan to upgrade 53rd Avenue for easier pedestrian and bicycle access to PCC, which is only a third of a mile away from Barber at this point, must be implemented. Accessibility to Barber and PCC from the northwest should be enhanced by the building of a bicycle pedestrian bridge across I-5 to connect to pathways in the Ash Creek neighborhood. Is my time out?
Go ahead. Finish your thought. You've only got a little bit left.
The building of housing and retail infrastructure must be encouraged and noise abatement features implemented. We want to see the BRT line continue west to the city line. We're concerned that needed improvements of this area could be shelved if any of the transportation bundles that go through Haines Street are adopted. And because of our concern for our neighborhood, 115 of our neighbors living on Haines Street and in its environs have signed the attached petition that I'm submitting today, urging you to avoid placing BRT lines along local streets such as Southwest Haines Street. Thank you.
Thanks very much. Thank you. Appreciate not only the clarity of your position, but the fact that you've done this in such an organized way. So it's nice when citizens get involved and give us this coherent kind of information. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Happy to do it. You'll see me again, probably.
I suspect so.
On Friday.
My name is Peter Johnson. I live on Haines Street. And as George mentioned, we have a group of neighbors and residents who have signed the petition, and I'm speaking on their behalf. As residents, we're extremely excited about the Barber Concept Plan. We're very excited about the idea of developing a focus area at 53rd and Barber and making that a real center to which we can walk, have local shopping, retail, catch high-capacity transit downtown or to Tiger, to Ollerton and Sherwood. We recognize we have a strong neighbor, a community in our neighborhood, PCC, which needs and must have better connectivity to the city. But we're concerned how that will be achieved. And I make that point because three of the transit bundles proposed or suggested by Metro envisage high-capacity transit coming along Barber, turning onto Capitol Highway, going through the PCC campus, and then coming down Haines Street to continue to Tigard and Sherwood. In our opinion, this is a poor planning decision for four reasons. In its present state, Haines Street is narrow, 11 to 20 feet wide. It is steep. It has no proper foundation. To upgrade the road to accept high-capacity transit would be a major investment. Secondly, Haines Street is lined with Douglas firs and other trees. Many of these are more than 100 years old, left over from when the area was last logged in 1913. To upgrade the street again means that many of these trees would have to be demolished, removed. We would lose trees, we'd lose canopy, we'd lose habitat. Thirdly, Haines Street at the moment is a dead end. It goes up to and abuts PCC campus, but doesn't connect with the road network on the PCC campus. To make it into a route for high capacity transit, they would have to drive, you'd have Metro or whoever would drive a road through woodland on the campus, connect with Haines Street. The effect of this will be to make Haines Street one of the major access points off I-5. Traffic would skyrocket. Noise would increase. Fourthly, my neighbors and I have chosen to live on Haines Street because of the quality of life there. If it becomes part of a BRT system, this quality of life will be lost. I would therefore urge that in further planning, that the proposal made in the concept plan that vehicle access to the campus will primarily continue to be served by Capitol Highway and Lesser Road is kept to, and we would urge high-capacity transportation to be concentrated along Barber Boulevard. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks very much. Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Ariane Holzhauer. I'm also an inhabitant of the neighborhood that George and Peter are in. I'm on Southwest 57th, which is a dead-end street at the top end of Southwest Haines. And I also live in that neighborhood because I love the fact that it's a very secluded little pocket of forested area, but adjacent to urban amenities and with quick access to urban amenities of Portland. And I wanted to emphasize that I'm very encouraged by the overall vision of the Southwest Corridor Plan and the Barber Concept Plan tying into that, that is really being driven by land use, by quality of life, and that a lot of emphasis is being placed on green space and livability. And in my written submission, I make four points, but I wanted to emphasize that as far as our neighborhood is concerned, Lesser Park, which is a small swath of park in our area, is our current green element within that neighborhood. It's part of a contiguous swath of what is typified as upland landscape in the metro designation of habitat. And it's made up of that habitat is made up of the park and adjacent green zones on the PCC campus, as well as plantings on private properties to the south of the park. And although it's ecologically maybe not deemed of very high quality in terms of the standards of parks and recreations in Portland, it's hardly the Amazon rainforest. But at the same time, it really represents a very high quality piece of wildlife habitat that really enhances the quality of life in our neighborhood. We regularly see deer, rabbits, raccoons, lots of bats. We see coyotes, lots of different birds, and in fact, we regularly see classes from the PCC campus doing wildlife tours there and doing bird observation as part of nature classes. And this is all made possible because of the fact that the neighborhood roads that kind of encapsulate Lesser Park are very quiet, local residential neighborhood roads. If we cut that through into a BRT corridor, as was proposed in a couple of the options in the Southwest Corridor project bundles, we would slice off a southern piece of the park. We would slice through that wildlife habitat and thereby reducing its quality and also reducing the importance of Lesser Park within our neighborhood as a contributant to wildlife habitat and to the quality of life. In addition, the trees that we were talking about that would have to be cut to bring the road up to code for BRT habitat would be taken away out of the canopy that is now sort of a buffer for the traffic noise from I-5 that carries up into the neighborhood, as well as increased traffic would result in more road noise in the neighborhood itself from increased car traffic as well as heavy bus traffic. And so, again, I would like to urge the council and the representatives on the Southwest Corridor Planning Committee to take into account that any rapid transit options do not diminish the quality of life in established neighborhoods that already have significant green space available to them. We think that there are other options possible, and we wholeheartedly support those. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Thanks for coming. Good morning.
Good morning. As my colleague suggested, sound.
State your name for the record, sorry.
Andrew Akintunde. As my colleague suggested, sound infrastructure is extremely important, and we need to get along harmoniously and get certified data from USGS. And also, without harmony, a lot of people will be working on a visualization, let's say Germantown Road. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for coming. Thank you all.
Thank you. Mayor, while these folks are getting seated, I wanted to welcome the Blue and Green Cities folks from England that are visiting us.
Welcome.
And got a chance to meet with them earlier this morning. Thank you for being here.
Welcome. Glad you're here. The weather's always like this in Portland.
Just like in England, right?
Just like in England, right, yeah.
The next four are Michael Harrison, John Gibbon, Roger Averbeck, and Mary Ann Fitzgerald.
Michael, welcome back to Portland City Council Chambers.
Oh, thanks. Good to be here. Go ahead and start. My name is Michael Harrison. I'm an employee and a registered lobbyist with Oregon Health and Sciences University. I appreciate the opportunity to testify today. With more than 14,000 employees, we are Portland's largest employer, and our employees live throughout the city, and a great many of them live along the Barber Corridor. We provide significant financial incentives for our employees to bike, to walk, and take transit to work, and we have very impressive mode splits as a result of that. But ultimately, our financial incentives only work when there's infrastructure to support them, which is why OHSU has partnered with the city on projects like the Portland-Milwaukee Light Rail Line, and why we're also excited about the Barber Concept Plan and the larger Southwest Corridor Plan. So on behalf of OHSU, we just wanted to thank you for the opportunity to testify on this project, and also thank you for your leadership on it. So Thanks so much.
Thanks. I welcome Michael back because he and I first worked together on transportation issues when he was staff to then Commissioner Earl Blumenauer.
So correct.
Some history on these issues. Welcome. Roger, welcome.
I'm Roger Averbeck. I served as a volunteer on the community working group for the Barber Concept Plan, representing the Southwest Neighborhoods Transportation Committee, as well as the Oregon Walks, formerly the Pedestrian Coalition. I also am currently working as a volunteer helping to update the comp plan on the infrastructure equity peg, so I appreciate the previous discussion. I have four daughters, and so I'm very concerned about equity. They're terrified to ride their bike on Barber or to try to cross Barber as students at PCC. The comments that I'm making today, though, are mine, and they don't represent any specific organization or committee. The Barber Concept Plan recommends establishment of safe and comfortable conditions for active transportation. I support that goal. To achieve this, the city and its partners, and I'll call out ODOT specifically, really must work to fund and implement more marked crosswalks with appropriate signs and signals, complete the sidewalk and bike lane gaps, improve the transit stops and the connections to them. We need to implement vehicle traffic calming using engineered boulevard treatments. We need improved access management for driveways and medians. I firmly believe that an emerging high-capacity transit corridor must increasingly become multimodally oriented before the HCT is implemented. Building the transit ridership, the pedestrian and bicycle use in the corridor now is an essential first step in creating a successful HCT project that would demonstrate the future corridor transformation and will build local support now for the larger changes coming. So once the concept plan is approved to implement the community's vision and the city's goals and to provide a basic standard of service which all city residents deserve, I encourage you to please become actively engaged at the regional table to pursue funding for these essential safety improvements sooner rather than later, and please direct your city staff to prioritize their time in working on the grant applications needed to procure the funding for safety improvements and aid in that mode shift to active transportation sooner rather than later. And please support further planning and study of the West Portland Crossroads area, which will likely require innovative and major changes in traffic circulation. Thank you for the opportunity to speak to you today.
Thank you. Marianne, welcome.
Good morning. My name is Marianne Fitzgerald, and I'm the president of Southwest Neighborhoods, a coalition of 17 neighborhood associations and three business associations in Southwest Portland. I'd like to especially thank Commissioner Fish for his comments on housing and Commissioner Fritz for her comments about the corridor. Sweeney is pleased to be here as you consider adoption of the Barber Concept Plan. This plan picks up where the Southwest Community Plan left off over 13 years ago when our community could not agree on a vision for Barber. It's a first step toward identifying improvements that are badly needed for a major thoroughfare whose infrastructure has not changed much since 1950 along most of its length. The staff presentation highlighted some of the existing conditions, but I'd like to point out a few more things. Barber is a high crash corridor with serious safety concerns. Barber has two of the four low-income housing projects owned by Home Forward in Southwest Portland, and a number of affordable housing units within a quarter mile of frequent transit service, but lacks sidewalks to get residents from affordable housing units to the nearest bus stop. And Ash Creek Commons, near where I live, the people must walk in the street to get to the bus stop on Barber because there are no sidewalks and the cars are parked in the shoulders. Barber has a town center with all the amenities of a town center except sidewalks and bike paths. And Barber has well-used frequent transit service, but according to Metro, it has the most potential to increase ridership of anywhere in the region. And Commissioner Fritz mentioned the Metro's high-capacity transit study, which ranked Barber higher than Powell in that study. I disagree with Chair Bow's recommendations not to invest in the corridor. Back in 2011, City Council debated projects that would receive regional transportation funding, and I'd like to remind you that Council Commissioner Fix, Fritz, excuse me, the council adopted Resolution 36876 with amendments from Commissioner Fish to fund the Barber Demonstration Project. And that project has not been funded yet. It is currently competing with six other City of Portland projects, and we're hoping that the city finally prioritizes this project and gets that needed funding now. We are very engaged in Metro Southwest Corridor process. We're having an open house tomorrow night, and we know that funding is limited, so we're working to involve our citizens and involve our community to prioritize the needed projects in the corridor. We recognize the regional significance of the corridor and want to reduce reliance on the automobile and help increase transit use and improve livability in our neighborhoods with or without high-capacity transit. So in conclusion, Sweeney supports the development of the Barber Concept Plan, which will inform the Southwest Corridor planning process for land use and high-capacity transit investments in the region. We urge the City Council to fund needed public infrastructure improvements, such as the Barber Demo Project, and we ask you to work with us and allow West Portland to realize its potential as a town center in more than just name. And we ask you to make the public investments that will attract the private investments and allow Southwest Barber to realize its potential as a place to live, shop, and play. Thank you.
Thank you. Frank.
My name is John Gibbon. My resident address is 9822 Southwest Quail Post Road, which is in the Markham neighborhood. My business address is 13425 Southwest 72nd Avenue, which is in Tigard, and that means that I eat and sleep and work in the Southwest Corridor. I'm a member of PURB, Public Utility Review Board. I'm Land Use Chair for Southwest Portland. I'm on a residential PEG. And the first time I talked to this august body was in 1976, when the people on this board were named Mildred and Connie and Charles and Neil and Frank. And I've been actively involved in planning and work in the Portland area for every year since then. In the early 1980s, I was on a committee called the Southwest Corridor Committee that worked darn hard to try to get this work done then, because we recognized that the Southwest Corridor was an important adjunct to the Sunset Corridor and that we needed to make the effort to get planning done for the all the jurisdictions along I-5 as far as Wilsonville. Unfortunately, at that time, City of Portland, Lake Oswego, tended to have other visions for those areas, and we didn't carry through. It hasn't hurt the corridor. There's 200,000 jobs, according to Metro, in what is now defined as the corridor. But I have to agree with Commissioner Fritz that the City of Portland should not hesitate in making this commitment, because the history of this situation suggests that if we don't work with these communities, I'm really afraid that the success we have in terms of economics in the Southwest neighborhoods will be lost, because we're really getting to the margin in terms of transportation and transit in the entire corridor. The streets that I work on are woefully underserved by transit, and it just doesn't work that way. But we've got a ton of planning to do, because I will tell you, this is the little joke that I got. This is my award for going to all 15 or whatever number of meetings that I went to on the corridor concept planning situation. We're not doing any infrastructure planning for stormwater at this stage in this process. We need to do that. It's going to be an incredible challenge. I think what we're going to find in the Southwest Corridor is that the stormwater issue is one of those things where we're going to have connections to Washington County, because we're both all the other jurisdictions that are involved in it. We're all what a PERB member understands, is an MS4 area, and we've got to deal with it in that way. We're going to have to make substantial changes in Southwest Portland in that regard. Mm-hmm. And the last thing I'd say is it's critically important we continue this process on, because the transit solutions that we come up with in the Southwest Corridor, I submit to you, as Commissioner Fritz pointed out, the transit solutions that we have to find for this suburban area of Southwest Portland and into Washington County are, I suspect, by and large, the same transit solutions that we're going to have to find for the East Portland areas. Not totally the same, but I suspect that one conversation will inform the other. And I'd suggest, and I'm always trying to build bridges to Clackistan, if you will, that the people working in the neighborhoods south of my neighborhood, which is South Portland, south of I-5 and 99W, are concerned about the same transit issues. And to some extent, they're rightly proud of the suburban transit solutions that they've begun to develop in Wilsonville and West Lynn. And we need to reformulate the conversation and get them back into a full dialogue across the region. And this process will facilitate that.
Thanks, John. Thanks for all your service. Thank you all. Next one, please.
Last two who signed up are Jim Gardner and Don Bach.
I think if we counted the volunteer hours of the people that have testified on this item, it would be a big number.
Jim Gardner, 2930 Southwest 2nd Avenue, 97201. Mr. Mayor and council members, I appreciate the opportunity to come and chat with you today about the Barber Concept Plan. I served on the community working group that worked with the city to develop this plan. You know, over the years, I did some thinking. I've been involved in an awful lot of planning processes, all the way from my individual neighborhood plan years ago, to helping at Metro develop the Region 2040 growth concept way back in the mid-90s. And with any of a planning process like that, it's easy and fairly kind of formulaic to have a public involvement component. And it's easy to go through those motions, hold events, listen to people, nod and say thank you for your input. But what's hard is to have what you hear from those community members actually result in substantive changes to the final product. One thing I was impressed by in the Barber Concept Plan is that the public involvement and public input was real. I saw in several ways where what the planners heard from the community working group and from people who came to the events actually colored and changed and directly influenced what went into the plan. One very specific example is in my neighborhood in the Lair Hill area. The initial draft of this plan that identified a number of, I think, seven focus areas for further, more detailed examination, had a focus area in northern Lair Hill on Barber Boulevard at Gibbs Street, directly under the tram, in other words. And the rationale, such as it was that this spot was in some way a transit hub because the tram passed overhead. My neighborhood did not think that that was an appropriate place for a focus area, because potentially what we're talking about is a focus area is a potential location for a station. There was nothing there, and it would development that would naturally have to happen around a station would have severely impacted the South Portland National Historic District and the residential area that surrounds that spot. We suggested instead a shift to was identified as the Kelly focus area, still in the northern part of Lair Hill, but we felt much more appropriate for the potential redevelopment. And the staff not only heard that, they immediately made that change, and that actually became what you see in the plan. This is just one example. There were several others throughout the corridor where what was heard actually influenced the plan itself. So again, I'd like to urge your support for this plan and also essentially thank and congratulate the Bureau and the planners that worked on it for being so receptive to the community's wishes.
Thanks, Jim. Thank you.
Mayor Hales and commissioners, I'm Don Bach. I live in Hillsdale. I've got 5 points I want to make. Five points being active transportation, talk about the bridges, relook at the bus system, noise, and I-5 on-ramp. I too, like Jim, I think this is one of the best project I've been involved in, and I've been in more than I'd like to count. They've done a great job of responding to the community, and they've really looked at all the issues and I think put together a good report. My comments here are basically to supplement this because I think to some degree we miss and let projects fall through the cracks. Take, for example, active transportation. We've talked about that a bit, but Barber is the spline for active transportation in Portland. Terwilliger feeds into it. Boone's Ferry feeds into it. Capitol Highway, Multnomah Boulevard, the Red Electric Trail, and for all coming into Portland. And Metro's done some modeling. I don't know the exact results of this, but I'm told that the numbers are akin to what's coming across the Hawthorne Bridge or whichever the bridge has got all the traffic on it. Huge, huge amount of potential if we get a safe, people-friendly way of getting into the city by bicycle and ped. So I don't want to wait till the state of Oregon in 25 years decides to finally do something. I want you guys to really push to say, let's get something going here. And if that means street diet for 20 years and then we build a bridge, fine. But you know, letting something that's out 25 years to dictate, oh, we're going to have a problem in 25 years, we can't do anything, that's nonsense. And that's just basically bureaucratic avoiding the problem. So I really want to see that happening. I bring up bridges because bridges have been studiously avoided, particularly the seismic repair of two bridges on Barber, Multnomah Boulevard, over which is, comes under Barber, and I-5. I don't know the details of these seismic things, but if we have those bridges drop, any businesses that build along there will be dead in the water in terms of any future for a long, long time. And, you know, let's get them fixed before we try to get a lot of investment along Barber. There's other bridges on Capitol Highway that need that same attention, and we need to fix those and put them on our list because I think they've been studiously avoided getting on the transportation planning list. Third thing is looking at our bus system. We have studiously reduced bus service in Southwest. Metro recently did a survey of mode access. And the pedestrian mode in 1994 was 11%. That meant someone walked to the bus, went to their grocery store, wherever they went. 11%. In 1911, they did another survey. It was 6%. Now, I would attribute a lot of that is to the reduced bus service. There's probably a lot of other good reasons, but that's one I can put my hands on saying, hey, I know for a fact when you only run one or two buses a day during rush hour morning and evening or don't have any at all, you've reduced people's willingness to walk to any place. And they've got to drive. It also affects the ability for people with low incomes to live in their communities because they've got to have this kind of transportation. If they don't have it, they don't get it. Third point is noise. The noise, there's something in the report about noise. I really appreciate that. But noise abatement when it comes to any high-capacity transit and looking at what's going on with I-5, we haven't really addressed noise coming off I-5 anywhere along the corridor other than Haines and South. That needs to be brought into the discussion and kept on the table because the livability of these areas, if we're going to have no matter the income level of anybody, if noise is a problem, it affects their daily lives and it really affects everything else. And you could also probably put on that the air pollution. We're all in that whole area, very high air pollution concentration area, so we need to worry about that. Finally, the I-5 on-ramp. 1999, I was on the Barber Streetscape Plan, and we worked really hard on that. It became very clear at that point that 50% of the traffic on Barber was going on to I-5 at Capitol Highway. So at that time, we proposed this on-ramp that's now gaining traction at Southwest 26, the Pancake House is what we're talking about, somewhere in that area going on to I-5, and maybe with a reduction or take off an on-ramp some other place. But southbound, we've got an on-ramp at up in the north area, which is, you know, Bancroft, I believe, is what it is, something like that. And we've got another one down at Capitol Highway. We've got five of them coming in northbound, but we don't have any going southbound. It's time to do that. And this will help the livability of Barber a huge amount. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks, Don. Thank you all.
Don?
Yeah.
Can I ask you a favor?
Sure.
Would you mind dropping by my office and making an appointment to talk about problem vegetation along the road?
I sent your scheduler a note on it, and I will. I will do so.
Okay.
Thanks.
Anyone else like to testify on this item? Thank you. Well, it's time for council vote on the resolution then.
Mayor, before we take up the resolution, can I offer either a friendly amendment or just a legislative history?
Okay, great.
And I talked to Joe Zenger just to work this out. At page 49 of the excellent report before us, there's a reference to, on the left-hand column, pursuing policy and zoning changes to achieve the project goals. Just as in our discussion a couple weeks ago about development and parking, and where we had a robust discussion and debate about voluntary mechanisms that we can incorporate into our zoning code to leverage some of the community benefits we want, which includes a distribution of affordable housing, I think this is the placeholder in this report where it says exploring new or existing tools for this purpose. And in the context for this is the legislature has, for this session, tabled any further consideration of lifting the preemption on inclusionary zoning. So we are preempted as a jurisdiction from requiring developers to set aside a certain number of affordable units. This is not an urban renewal district, so we do not have TIF as a tool. And while I appreciate the comprehensive list of tools that are listed on page 50 that are in our toolkit for leveraging affordable housing generally in the city, many of them are either not applicable to this area or are tapped out. So it begs the question, if we can't mandate through inclusionary zoning a certain proportion of affordable housing, and if developers choose not to take advantage of our tax abatement programs, is there a new tool, an additional tool that uses the zoning code to leverage a public benefit? We salted our discussion a couple weeks ago with that, and I would just ask as part of the legislative history that when BPS comes back to us at the next step, that we have that they be requested to come back with some very specific recommendations of how we might accomplish or meet our affordable housing goals through changes in the zoning code.
Thank you for that statement. Any discussion or dissent? I think that is the sense of the council, and that this particular provision that says explore new and existing tools to achieve the intensity of development, et cetera, is intended to sweep in this concern about our affordable housing goals as well as our density goals.
Yeah, and I guess the other piece of it, Mayor, is that since we don't currently have clear goals for the area or numerical goals or even beyond sort of aspirational, that conversation will then, coupled with setting some hard numbers, because there's nothing like a hard number to focus the attention of us, may allow us to capitalize on this unique opportunity to salt some affordable housing in new transit-oriented development.
Great. Further discussion? Then roll call and resolution.
Fish?
Thanks to the team at BPS for an excellent concept plan and presentation, and to our friends, the two commissioners who joined us today, and to all the public, members of the public, for testifying, and for Mary Ann for reminding us that we have some unfinished business around that the amendment that we adopted a couple years ago. So I appreciate you reminding us. And yesterday, I left this building to go to OPB and missed my favorite turnoff and ended up taking Barber the whole way. So I almost was channeling, preparing for this hearing. And so it's you know, I'm one of the few members of this council that does not live in Southwest Portland. We now have a quorum of the council, that a majority of the council lives in Southwest Portland, which I think is historic. But there's an enormous opportunity here, and I appreciate the vision that is set forth in this plan. And I also, frankly, since one of our jobs is to be referees, when members of the public testify that the public process was robust, inclusive, and done right, it really is one of the greatest compliments you can give to a bureau in this building. And it gives us confidence that we're on the right path. So thank you to everybody for your good work to this point, and I'm pleased to vote aye.
Saltzman?
Well, this is a great concept plan. I'm very pleased to support it, and I also, I'm not afraid to say right outright that I believe the ultimate solution, that this is a high-priority corridor. It's the next highest priority corridor for high-capacity transit, as TriMet and Metro have both agreed. It is tremendously underutilized, and one advantage Barber has over any other corridor, competing corridor, is the tremendous both unused right-of-way. I mean, there's plenty of right-of-way to do light rail down Barber or I-5, but also the redevelopment potential. It is, I think as somebody said, it still looks, you can drive down Barber from Fred Meyer on south, and you can still see the old historic highway that used to be I-5. Many of the same architecture remains. Many of the, in my opinion, shabby, dilapidated office buildings still remain. And there's tremendous room for density increases in along the Barber corridor that will support light rail, that will attract the private investment that's necessary to make that area revitalized, and also to tap into the tremendous ridership potential that already exists in the Barber corridor that presently lacks any kind of high-capacity service into Portland other than buses. And I think we all know it's axiomatic. People will ride a train when they won't ride a bus. You know, steal from Amtrak, there's something about a train. So that's where we ought to be looking. I realize some of our compatriot jurisdictions to the south may have strong feelings to the contrary, but I think we can work through these issues and ultimately do what's best for all the people who are presently served by constrained transit service, constrained traffic service, and land use that can be much higher utilized. So that's where my vote is. Keep this our number one priority. Let's ultimately make this a light rail corridor. And I want to commend everybody who did good work on this citizen process. And I'm sorry if I'm jumping to the end too quick, but I just want to get those thoughts out now. I can always be patient afterwards. Aye.
Novick?
This has been a delightful discussion this morning, and I really appreciate the work of the commission and staff and the citizens involved, and I've really learned a lot from my colleagues' comments this morning as well. So thank you all very, very much, and I'm pleased to vote aye.
Fritz.
The folks in Southwest have not, over the past 20 years, sometimes come into council saying that the public process was robust and responsive. So I very much appreciate that it has been the case in that this has been the case for this project, and indeed for the diligence of folks like John Gibbon since 1976, participating and advocating and waiting for the right thing to happen. Appreciate the staff's work on this. They have definitely gone above and beyond and rethought some of the things that, as was stated, were then pointed out that were not necessarily what the community now wants. I'm particularly delighted to hear their support for the West Portland Town Center. And since I won't be on the council when a lot of these improvements are implemented, and I want to put into the legislative record so I can come back as a completely white-haired elderly lady to say that my legislative hope is that even west of the West Portland Town Center, north of Barber, that there's some opportunities for upzoning and for increased intensity. So while I agree with the current areas of focus in the concept plan, I think there's an enormous potential for the entire stretch to be a series of nodes of residential and high-intensity commercial and office uses. It is an arterial that joins us to our partner jurisdictions to the south. There are needs in King City and Tigard and Sherwood and all those points west that we and south that we must be considering as the center of the hub in this particular case. And also reflecting that the regional facility for the Confederated Tribes of the Grand Ronde is on Barber, and that nicely ties in the heritage that we are all newcomers to this space in some folks' estimation, and that we need to respect arterial river, which is Barber. When I went to the Planning Commission hearing on this, mostly because I was interested in their discussions on West Hayden Island, which came after that, and was pleased to hear the Planning Commission commissioners recognizing the council's commitment to equity and bringing up the issue of what about Powell versus Barber. As I said earlier, it's not a case of either or, and I refuse to divide up the spoils in that manner. We need to make sure that every area of the city has walkable, safe transportation and connects it with land use. What's particularly delightful about this project is the connection with the Southwest Corridor Plan. I appreciate Malu Wilkinson from Metro being here, looking at it as a land use process rather than just transportation, looking at the green spaces, as was mentioned, looking at the stormwater facilities. Thanks to the folks from Haines Street for coming in. You're a good example of being proactive rather than reactive. Sure, that's in the concept plan, but you're coming in now to make sure that the council has heard there are these significant issues with a potential for using Haines Street in a more intensive manner, and that's very helpful. So I appreciate that. There are five concepts on the table, and I think there'll be pros and cons to each of them. Stay engaged. Although be warned that getting engaged on a local land use issue in deep southwest Portland was how I got started, and look where I am now. So, it's, and look where John and Marianne still are, too. People get engaged in Portland because participatory democracy matters, and it works. And I appreciate the five members of this council being responsive to that. And thank you very much for this great plan. Aye.
Hales?
I want to connect my comments to some of what you've heard here from my colleagues. We've been at this for a long time, not just in Southwest through the multiple planning processes that have been talked about here and that many of these folks have participated in. We've also been at it for a while as a region, and that map that Morgan showed where the sequence of the big corridors that we've worked on together lit up one after another illustrates that, you know, more than 30 years of collaboration between the region and the city. And we are the best at this. There's no point in being coy about it. We're the best in the country at doing this. And that's why when we are careful and thoughtful and thorough when we do these kinds of planning processes and queue up a project for the federal government to fund, they've done it every time. We have an unbroken track record of good planning followed by successful projects that carry a lot of passengers and change places. The rest of the country isn't like this. They have fits and starts and run into brick walls and worse, and thus to the comments about being bold when we get to the point of decision, they've fallen short in a few cases. And so that's why it's really important that we do this thorough and open and inclusive process, that we get it right in terms of public participation and the concept, and that then when we get to that decision about this is the mode and this is how it will work and this is how it will change the place, we have to be bold enough to change the zoning map to actually make it work. We have to be bold enough to pick the right mode choice and then carry it forward. And we, again, have had a history as a region of doing that. One of my favorite transit stories is when we were planning the West Side Line and Mayor Shirley Huffman from Hillsborough insisted that we get light rail all the way to Hillsborough and made the commitments with her council and her community to change the place and fit it to the plan and help fund the project. And that's the kind of boldness that will ultimately be necessary in this corridor and on Powell and anywhere else. So I think these comments were very appropriate. Yeah, we do need to be inclusive and thoughtful, but then also know that there comes a moment of decision, and hopefully most people will agree with it, but where we have to go ahead and do the right thing and make it work. And Portland so far has an unbroken record of getting it right. This is a great example. Thank you all for good work and look forward to that record moving on to a successful project here. Aye. Thank you all. Okay, ready for our next item?
Item 363. Travel Portland 2013 presentation.
Commissioner Saltzman.
Thank you, Mayor. It's a pleasure today to introduce this annual presentation from Travel Portland on their successes and positive impact to Portland and the region over the past year. As we know, Travel Portland is a premier destination marketing organization, and we owe much of our tourism and convention growth to Travel Portland's programs and campaigns, some of which we'll hear today, including, I believe, our counteroffensive campaign to the 2 days in Seattle. And the successes continue to pile up. With council's approval last year of both the refocused downtown marketing initiative coupled with the creation of the Tourism Improvement District, the hotels are being used more than ever before, particularly during that slump period of January through March, and revenues haven't looked this good in years. Executive Director Jeff Miller is here to lead our presentation, as well as Eric Paul, General Manager of the Marriott Courtyard Downtown, who will provide us a firsthand example of what increased tourism means for his employees. And I also want to recognize our board chair, Sabrina Rockovitz, who is just finishing up her tenure, a very successful tenure, one that saw the inception of the Tourism Improvement District. And she's been a great leader as Travel Portland's chair, and I want to thank her for that as well. And now I'll just turn it over to Jeff to take it away.
Just quickly here.
Sabrina, okay.
Mayor Hales and council members, we really appreciate this opportunity to share the results. It has been a fantastic year, and we're also very excited about the future. So thank you for your time.
Thank you.
I'm going to ask Eric to tell the story. We were talking a few weeks ago, and the story of the jobs, and briefly kind of set the stage for what tourism really is all about.
Yeah, definitely. So first quarter was a great quarter for us. And I have about 150 employees, and 90% of them are full-time and the other are part-time. And that really makes up of housekeepers, engineering, restaurant, back of the house, kitchen, front office, and valet, and several other departments. Typically in our industry, what happens in this time of year, the occupancy dips, and we have to reduce the hours of our associates, both full-time and part-time. A couple of the months, one of our full-time associates could go down to 3 to 2 days, and none for our part-time associates. This year was definitely a different story for us. I'm pleased to say that 100% of our associates worked full-time, and all of our part-time associates worked part-time. Had a huge impact on them financially. They're, as much as they think they're prepared for it every year when they face this, they're really not, because they all support families at home. I'd say the majority of my employees support families at home, and this year was a little bit different. I guess all of our managers in our hotel are a little overwhelmed by the response by our associates who came to us and appreciated this year being different for them and how much of an impact that it had. So I just want to share that story and just thank everything that we're doing.
Terrific. I'll take it from here. And we're going to talk about the business of tourism and those jobs, and I'm going to go through some of these very quickly. These are a few indicators from Dean Runyon, who does also Travel Oregon's economic impacts. You can see room demand is up very nicely, and if you look down, employment is also up. We love having those numbers. This is not going to be a presentation of numbers, but I do want to set the stage and give you some context. You can see in 2012, we had over $4 billion worth of spending in tourism, and this is in the three-county region. Earnings is up, employment is up to 30,000 jobs, and most significantly, tax are up. So that's a very good story for us to be able to tell. These numbers, 22% of this is food service, so it's the largest slice of the pie when you look at this spending. How'd we do? For the future, we have over 287,000 room nights on the books into 2021 in the convention business. That's a huge economic impact at $155 million, and you can see the OCC really benefits with revenue. This is a video that we did. Client events, and these are meeting planners in Chicago. We try and take a little bit of Portland with us, and you can see we took Jen Lewis, who was Food and Wine's 2012, one of their chefs last year, and we really get an interactive, memorable experience, and they remember Portland when they're making those decisions. So we really try and employ a lot of different tactics as we do this. PR is a huge portion of what we do. You can see Last year, our ad value was over $18 million and people over 675 million circulation. So big, big numbers, and it's something we rely on because we don't always have the advertising dollars to do what we'd like to do. You have a food and wine in front of you, and while our PR team didn't work specifically on that, you can see the Division Street restaurants are featured. And we're always out there pitching to the press, the media in New York and other places.